2 Timothy 1:7, the series is called God Has Not Given Us the Spirit of Fear. And we started off in part one, that God has not given us the spirit of timidity, given us the spirit of fear. And we talked about how the spirit of fear is a mindset, where a person, that's their mindset set on fear. And we talked about how the enemy uses fear to steal, kill, and destroy, uses fear to cause the believer, cause a person to sin against God so that he is able to steal, kill, and destroy. And then we transitioned from that, and we transitioned from that in part two, where we talked about, yes, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but we talked about what he has given us. He's given us a spirit of love. Power, love, and a sound mind. So the first, and so we decided to unpack 2 Timothy 1:7. And so in part two, we talked about the spirit of power, the ability. He gives us the ability to do his will. That was one of the attributes of the spirit of power. And then in part three, we talked about the spirit of love, having a mindset of love. We talked about loving God with all our heart, mind, and our soul. Hallelujah. And talked about loving one another. And yeah. So today we're going to focus on God has given us the spirit of discipline.
Yeah.
Or a sound mind.
Praise.
Sister Christian likes that. A sound mind. Having some good sense. Hallelujah. Praise. Praise God. Y'all pray with me. I'm always, humbled to be before God's people. I don't take this for granted. So we're going to open up to our subject scripture today is 2 Timothy 1:7. And we're going to read that together. Paul is speaking to his protege, Timothy. He's telling him, starting at verse 7. He said, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and love and discipline." And by the way, I am reading from NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Amen. So let's read it again. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Hallelujah. Praise God. So God has not given us the spirit, of fear, but he's given us the spirit of discipline. Or a sound mind. King James used the word sound mind. So throughout this message, I may be interchanging them,
but they
mean the same thing.
Praise.
So the spirit of discipline or a sound mind, having a mindset of having a sound mind.
Yeah.
It's to have self-control. To have self-control, to have a wit about oneself. We know that the mind is the seat of intellect.
That's right.
Intellect is the power of knowing. The ability to learn, to comprehend. The faculty of reasoning and understanding. I need to lay this out because this is what we're going to build off of.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So one who has a spirit of discipline can reason well.
Yeah.
You know, but God said we have this. This is the exciting part. This, as I was preparing this message, the Lord touched my heart greatly. When I finished up, I was crying. Don't ask me how or why. It's just his word is just so good. His word is life, and it breaks fallow ground. I got up. I was like, wow, a burden fell off of me. I told Apostle Giles, I said, a burden lifted off of me. I don't even know what it was. But I thank God. And this is happening even right now. All right. To have a sound mind, it means to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, the mindset of our minds. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:17. As you know, throughout this series, we've had a lot of word I like teaching the word.
Amen.
I like teaching the word. Praise God. Whew. Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. Hallelujah. Did I get the right? Yes, I'm looking at 5. Thank God Almighty. I see something familiar here. Wow. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna start at 23 and we're gonna actually end, I believe, we're gonna start at 17, we're gonna end at 23. Excuse me. So let's begin to read. It reads as thus: This I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of the mind. I want to stop right there. One who has a sound mind, of a spirit of a sound mind, does not walk in futility. Wow. I'm just going to let the word speak. Just like the word, which is God. Futility is a person being devoid of truth and appropriateness. In other words, knowing the correct thing to do. You know, as I said earlier, they have wits about themselves. They have a hold on their mind. And you don't have to turn there, but in Romans chapter 1, around the 18th verse, it talks about how men suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that they knew God, but they didn't honor God. Now, can we see that today? It didn't honor God as God. Didn't honor God as God and suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. They became futile in their speculations. Now, look at this. Futile, being devoid of truth, knowing the right thing to do. They became futile in their speculations, their thoughts, and their reasonings, and exchanged the truth for a lie. So one that has a sound mind, they don't walk in futility. They have wits about themselves, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. One is not darkened in understanding. I'm going somewhere here. Right. To be darkened in one's understanding means that their mind is full of darkness. Now, darkness can mean just blank, just dark, don't see anything. Or it also means evil. Full of evil, darkness. But to be blind in the mind, and I want to go that way. I found something in my studies. I found something very interesting that I hadn't heard of before. Perhaps somebody else has. But in the medical field, this is actually a condition in the medical field, but we know it's spiritual. Yeah. And it's called aphantasia. Aphantasia is spelled A-P-H-A-N-T-A-S-I-A. And what they're saying is that a person that is that is blind in the mind, they can't imagine things.
You better help somebody out.
They don't have an imagination. So he talked about if you tried to get a person that had this condition and you tried to describe a beach to them, they couldn't see it. They just know that there is a beach. Beach. Okay, beach. And another thing, this is one of the reasons why I care to mention this condition, is because it prevents empathy. This is one of the things that it says. It prevents empathy, meaning that they can't put themselves in another person's shoes. They can't see what another person can see or can understand what they're going through. They have no understanding, no compassion or sympathy. They gave a scenario of of a runaway train, and some kind of way there was a heavy person on the train, and the option was to eliminate the weight so that the train won't injure the people, so that it can slow down and the people on the train won't be hurt, including themselves. Mm-hmm. Make the choice, which one would they do? They wouldn't have a person that has a sound mind would have a problem with that decision in itself. Mm-hmm. Because one, a man would have to die, possibly die, for these people to be saved. Mm-hmm. There's no thought, they have no comprehension. But a person with the condition would probably choose to throw the man off. My. Blind in the mind. But I can tell you somebody I know that I continue to think about that is not blind in the mind as a man here on earth, and that was Christ Jesus. Amen. He gave his own self. He sacrificed his self that we may live. Hallelujah. Wow. Being renewed in the spirit of our minds. This is a person who has a sound mind that's renewed in the spirit of their mind. Hallelujah. I want to continue to read the scripture. Let's go back to the word. Ephesians 4, and let's start at 18. Let's start back at 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also were walked in the futility of their mind and being darkened in their understanding. Being darkened in their understanding, that's what we just talked about, being dark, having a blind mind, being blind in the mind. But you see, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has given us a sound mind. We are not blind in the mind. Hallelujah. And also, being renewed in the spirit of our mind means that we are not excluded from the life of God because of ignorance. We are not excluded from the life of God because of ignorance. We know God. Amen. We can understand God. A person that is void of a sound mind, they don't know God. They can't learn of God. They can't receive God. And the scripture is telling us, as we read on, it says, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And this happened because of the hardness of their heart. Of the hardness of their heart. Yeah. Hallelujah. We have an understanding. Praise God. And they became callous. And have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. You know, a person that has understanding and has discipline is slow to anger. Amen. In Proverbs 14:29, it says that we're slow to anger. Whoever is slow to anger has a great understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a great understanding. Amen. So when we have a sound mind, because we have a sound mind, we're slow to anger.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But he who has a hasty temper, mm-hmm, exalts folly. So those who have a sound mind, they're cool in their spirit.
Amen.
You want to talk about being cool? Have a sound mind.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Have a sound mind. Now I want to visit the scripture and I want to see what it looks like not to have a sound mind. I'll give you a little example of what it looks like not to have a sound mind. I just want to share the word here. Let's go to 1 Kings 21. And we're going to start at verse 1. Now I'm going to tell you who I'm talking about. Did not have a sound mind. King Ahab and Jezebel, Queen Jezebel. They killed Naboth for his vineyard. Let's look in the word and see what this looks like. Not having a sound mind. And I'm going to start at 1. 1 Kings 21. And I'm going to start at 1. Now it came about after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel beside the king, besides the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Now, Ahab is a king now. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "This is the king coming to this person. Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden." He wants it for a vegetable garden because it is close beside my house. "And I will give you a better vineyard than it is, than it in its place, if you like. I will give you the price of it in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." I want to stop right there. Ahab, he does not consider Naboth. He does not consider that he doesn't want to sell, that this is an inheritance from his father. He just wants what he wants. He sounds like he's blind in his mind. This is not a sound mind. We're going to see even further as we read further. So here this man is, got his own vineyard, and he's the king. He can have any land he wants anywhere. Starting at verse 4. So Ahab came into his house. Now this is the king, came into his house sullen and vexed, not having wits about himself. He's the king of all the land of Samaria. He's the king. Because he was sullen and vexed because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and ate no food. Sounds like he was depressed. Sounds like he lost his mind. But Jezreel, his wife, reading in verse 5, came to him and said to him, now this is about Ahab, let's look at Jezebel, let's see what's going on with her. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "How is it that your spirit is so sullen that you are not eating food?" This is the king, y'all, I keep saying. So he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you a vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I would not give you my vineyard.' And Jezebel, his wife, said to him," now here it is, "'Do you now reign over Israel? Aren't you the king? Arise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite.'" Well, the last time I checked the scriptures, Naboth had already given his word on his vineyard. He said, "I will not give it up. It's an inheritance from my father." Any person with a normal rationale would have said, "Oh, whoa," especially in this culture, because this land is to stay in this family for generations.
That's right.
Whoa. So anyone with a rational mind would have been, "Okay, fine, I'll get another, you know, vineyard, and carve it out around my house. I'll get another one." Okay, he don't want to sell. As a matter of fact, "Can I give you something to help you grow it? Can I give you something to make it better?" He's the king. He's able to do that. Add some more to it. A rational mind. But no. But Jezebel says she's going to give it. Now I wonder how she's going to do this. Let's read on. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who were living with Naboth in his city. Now she wrote in the letters saying, "Proclaim a fast." Now I wonder who they fasting to. Let's finish. Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people, and seat two worthless men before him, and let them testify against him, saying, you curse God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death. Let's look at this again. She proclaimed a fast to lie. Void, blind in the mind, not knowing the right thing to do.
All right now.
Proclaimed a fast, more, and it doesn't say it here, but we know that she worshiped Baal. A fast, so the people can lie and have him stoned to death. A futile mind. Let me tell you who else had a futile mind. The men in the city. Let's look at verse 11. So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the table. Then the two worthless men came in and sat before him, and the worthless men testified against him, even that Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stone. So Ahab, Jezebel, the men in the city, and the elders and the nobles, all without a sound mind. Without a sound mind. And it came about, verse 15, because we figured out how Jezebel got the vineyard. And it came out came about when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and then was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came about when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, still void in the mind. A man is dead behind a piece of land that belonged to him. That Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And if we read further, we can see what happened with that. He was punished for it. The Lord saw it. Sent the prophet and dealt with it. So it doesn't pay to be blind in the mind.
Right,
that's why God has given his people, his spirit, the spirit of a sound mind.
Yeah, yeah,
in the name of Jesus the Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Matthew 26. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I thank the Lord for a sound mind.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Spirit of a sound mind. Yeah. The spirit of the mindset. That I have a sound mind. This is what we think on. I have a sound mind. It don't even cross our mind that we don't have a sound mind. That we don't have reasoning, that we don't know what to do.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that some more. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Matthew 26 discusses Judas Iscariot, his betrayal of our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And I'm going to start reading it. Verse 14, and we're going to actually read between 14 and, hallelujah, we're going to read a while, I don't know why, through 47, but we're going to skip through it, because I just want to see the windows of what was going on with Judas Iscariot, okay? Verse 14 reads, then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you? Speaking of Jesus, because they were plotting to kill him. They wanted to capture him. And they weighed out to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, he began to look for opportunity to betray him. Now, here this man is walking with God, seeing the miracles, seeing the people being saved. Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is up on me to set the captives free. Open the eyes of the blind. The lame will walk. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The dumb will speak. Yeah. The lame, did I say that already? The lame will walk. Amen. Praise God. And he's seeing all of this, but still, he wants 30 pieces of silver. He doesn't even know what's before him. He's blind in the mind. Walking with God. Blind in the mind. Lord have mercy. Let that sink in. So they prepare for the Passover, Jesus and his disciples. And we're going to pick up on verse 20. This is after they he had them prepare. Verse 20 reads, now when evening had come, he was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, surely not I, Lord. And he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed! Exclamation mark. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, listen, look at this. Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, surely, is it not I, Rabbi? Surely, it is not I, Rabbi. Let me say that again, say it correct. So here he is, knowing that he has already met, already got the 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. But he stands before God. No. He stands before God Almighty and says, surely it is not I. Now, that's blind in the mind. God is all knowing. God is all seeing. Wow. For a person to try to lie to God is blind in the mind. But God has given us spirit of a sound mind. We don't have that mindset to try to lie to God. We don't have that mindset to not recognize God for who he is. We have a sound mind, a good mind. And then Jesus told him, you have said it yourself. Hallelujah. Let's skip down to 47. Hallelujah. So between the Passover and this section where he's about to be betrayed, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. And you remember that's where the disciples fell asleep. And he said, couldn't you not tarry for an hour? Okay, so after this has happened, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a great multitude with swords. So it's time now to give Jesus up. It's time now to give him into the hands of those that want to do away with him, that wants to kill him. He's accompanied by a great multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, he who was betraying him gave them a sign, blind in the mind, saying, whomever I shall kiss, he gave him a sign, if he kiss him, he is the one sees him. Still, he just got through saying, it's not me, Lord. I know it's not me. But now, here he is walking this plot out. And immediately he went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. My God, my God. Blind in the mind. Just like in Romans 1 where I talked about it. Here he was. He walked with Christ. Did not honor him as God. Became futile in his thinking. What was he thinking? Blind in the mind. The scripture doesn't tell us what he was thinking, but we're looking at his actions.
That's right.
He went after the money. He went after the money. And then here he is siding with those that wanted to kill Christ. And these were religious leaders. The Pharisees, the priests.
Yeah.
My God, because Jesus is going around setting folk free from religion. He's setting folk free from their grabs, from their control. Because see, I'm going to tell you something. They changed up the traditions how they wanted to. And Christ came to do away with those traditions because they were not lining up with truth, with God's word, with the Torah. He came to destroy that. He didn't come to destroy the Torah. He didn't come to destroy God's law. He came to fulfill God's law. So now they had no control over the people. Because that's what religion does. It tries to control people. It doesn't let them be free to serve the Lord. To give homage to God. It was homage to man. So they wanted to do away with him. And here Judas is, Iscariot, teaming up with them. What a blind mind. This is not a sound mind. In the name of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
The benefits of a sound mind, I'm going to transition here. The benefits of a sound mind, we will not be deluded by persuasive arguments. The sound mind knows truth. Let's go to Colossians. I love the word of God. Y'all about to see why I was all crying and woo. I was crying. Colossians. Praise God. Colossians 2. Praise God. Wow. And we're going to start at verse 1. Colossians 2, verse 1. We're going to more than likely read through 8 unless the Lord wants to do something else. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And for those who are at Laodicea. Now this is Paul talking to the believers at Colossae. The Colossians. And he wants them to know that on their behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen his face, this is a letter, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the assurance of understanding, there it is, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then he tells them in verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. That no one would delude or deceive with persuasive argument. He's telling them, you already know what you need to know. You have the wealth of a full assurance of understanding on God's mystery. And it's in the scripture again, God's mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen,
that's a mystery.
Amen.
That's a mystery to the world. What? Spirit of God living within us. The Spirit of God is God. So we're walking around temple as temples of the Holy Spirit, carrying God, the presence of God inside of us. So when someone tries to come to tell us that, hey, I got a new thing I want to tell you about. Somebody, did you know that God had a wife and she's in heaven with him? God forbid. But because we already know, we already have a knowledge, we're rich. We have a wealth of the assurance inside of us.
Amen.
Christ. The mystery of Christ Jesus, nobody can tell us something like that. We had a sound mind. Praise God.
Amen.
This is the benefit of having a sound mind. We won't be deluded by persuasive arguments.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. The peace of God will guard our minds.
Amen.
Having a sound mind. That's in Philippians 4:6-7. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Praise God. Let's turn to Philippians 4:6. Yeah, let's look at that. Few pages back to Philippians 4:6. Yeah. We know we're very familiar with this, but I just want to read this. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, a sound mind will not be anxious because we know the truth. We talked about that. Having a sound mind and having the spirit of a sound mind and spirit of discipline, we know the will of God because we know the word of God. Word of God is in us. So we won't be anxious for anything. We won't walk in fear because God has not given us the spirit of fear. Come on, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But in everything, we told you our testimony. Here we were faced with decisions. But because we have a sound mind and we have a mindset of a sound mind, we knew what to do.
Amen.
We prayed.
Amen.
We were not anxious. We pray, just like the scripture says. And we made our supplication and thanksgiving, let our request be made known to God. And then he let us know what to do. He directed our path.
Amen.
Because of a sound mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Is this good?
Amen.
Say, God has given me a sound mind, the spirit of a sound mind. How do we receive and operate in a sound mind? Well, this is good. Good question. I'm glad you asked. Discipline or a sound mind is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Everything we've been talking about is Holy Spirit.
That's right.
In Galatians 5:22-23, we won't turn there, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. We already have
Amen. The
spirit of a sound mind. So the question was, how do we receive and operate in a sound mind? We already have it.
Amen.
We already have the spirit of a sound mind because it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
We know his mind. We know his thoughts. We know his will.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We incline our heart to understand. To understand it. Let's turn to Proverbs 2:2-5. Yeah, we have the spirit of a sound mind.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much, God. Proverbs 2:5. Starting at verse 2, it says, Proverbs 2, verse 2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, knowing what to do, discernment, knowing what's going on, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, now that's interesting that it says that. So Judas Iscariot, if he could have seek a sound mind instead of the silver. Okay, I'm moving on. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's another message. And discover the knowledge of God. You will get the knowledge. You will get the understanding of God. This is how you can operate in the sound. We already have it, but incline your ear to understanding. Have a mindset to understand the will of God, the things of God, his heart, his precepts. And we do that through the word of God. Hallelujah. Then be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
And that's Romans 12, starting at verse 1. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Praise God. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. But here it is. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind that you may prove what the will of God is. You will understand, you will have a wit about yourself. You will understand the will of God. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Being transformed is a work of Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We submit ourselves to him and he transforms us. And he does it by his word. We study the word of God and obey the word of God and walk the word of God. We will know the will of God. And this will conform what we think.
That's right.
To renew one's mind is to make it new again, to make it different. When we were not saved, we didn't have the mind of Christ. We didn't have the thoughts of God. But once we receive Holy Spirit, we are transferred into a new creature in Christ Jesus. And as we study his word will replace our old thinking. Another thing we need to do to receive and operate in a sound mind is to be equipped for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 4:11. Now this is important. Very important. Ephesians 4. Starting at 4. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I want to go back to 11. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. He gave us spiritual leaders. We must be taught the word of God and follow godly leadership. Amen. For the equipping, so that we can be equipped for the work of service, or the work, King James says, work of the ministry. Amen. So we can be equipped to walk out this Christian life. Amen. The scripture said God gave some. He gave these gifts, spiritual leaders, so this can be accomplished. He wants to do it by spiritual leaders. Don't distance ourselves from the people of God. He also does it through unity. He wants us to attain the unity of the faith. But we must come together as one. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Look what happens. Let's read verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So we are to be equipped so we can walk out the sound mind that we already have. And as we sit under godly leadership, then we can be equipped. And we will not be tossed to and fro by every lie, wind of doctrine, this new doctrine. If it's not the word of God, it is not doctrine. Amen. It's not the doctrine of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep our minds on Christ. Amen. Isaiah, you don't have to turn there. Isaiah 26:3, I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. We walk it out by keeping our minds on Christ, by keeping our minds on God, that we can walk in perfect peace and not be futile in our minds, not have a blind mind. Peace means shalom, completeness, soundness, and having the welfare, faring well. Praise the Lord. God has not given us spirit of fear, but he has given us spirit of a sound mind in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen.